Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20 in the Old Testament. We're going to look at these, the safe places, the city of refuge. You know, the Lord is my refuge. He's my strength, the very present help, the Bible says, in time of trouble. All of us need a refuge. That's a safe place where we can go, a place where our conscience and our sins and all the storms of life, we can just get away from and hide ourselves. That person is Christ Jesus in our Christian life. Look at what it says. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today that as we study your word here, that you'll speak to each one of us at the point of our need. It's just a great thing to know that you're in the midst of our lives, you're touching our hearts, you're touching our conscience, Lord, where we need to be touched. And Lord, convict, and Lord, show us these things in our life. And Lord, that we have, if we have Jesus Christ in our life, that he is our city of strength and refuge. We give you praise, for in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. In our scripture, the Lord says to Joshua, tell the people to appoint these cities. And I want you to notice something this morning about these cities. I want you to notice the nature of these cities. I want to talk about the names of these cities, for they're very interesting, and also the nearness of these cities. Well, the nature of the cities. The Bible says they were a city of refuge, a place of protection. Now, what in the world would you need protection from? Well, if someone was doing something together and you accidentally killed that brother, his family or her family, whichever the case might be, would send out an avenger, someone to eye for an eye. And you accidentally did this, and you needed a place to go. Well, these were cities of refuge where you could go. Now imagine you've killed someone accidentally, and your trial's not come up, and they send someone after you, and you're running from that person. You're struggling with all you can to get to that gate, to get into that city of refuge, a place where it's a protection from the avenger of blood. Now, as God said, Joshua, I want you to make six cities where if someone accidentally kills a brother or a sister, they could flee there. Now, it wasn't a city for a cold-blooded murderer or killer, but it was a city for those who accidentally killed someone that they could flee to. And when we have killed someone and we've done it by an accident and unknowingly, accidentally, the Bible tells us that we can flee to that city. Now, the Bible teaches us that we killed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sins nailed him to the cross. We did it in ignorance. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we need that place that we can go to, that place of protection. And our sins put Christ on the cross. And we can go to Jesus Christ today and give our lives to him and find that protection that we need in our life. Now, there's a difference between someone who kills a person accidentally, and a person who murders someone in cold blood. And thereby, it made it necessary for Jesus to die on the cross, and a person who deliberately, with eyes wide open, rejects Christ today, you know, as our Lord and Savior, then we will be held accountable. You see, if you openly and willingly deny Christ this morning, there remains no more refuge for you. If you deny Christ this morning, if the Holy Spirit convicts you that you're not saved, that you are a sinner, and you need a Savior, which we all do, don't we? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in 1985. I let Christ come into my heart. I said, Lord, I want to trust you. I realize I've committed sin. I realize I'm a sinner, and I want you as my Lord and Savior. He came into my life. He changed my life. He's been my place of refuge. He's been my city of refuge. The Bible says, if we come to him, he will in no wise cast us out. Those people, if they got to the city gate and went inside that gate, they were perfectly safe. The avenger couldn't come in and kill them. So they wanted to get themselves inside that city. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to invite him to come into your heart that you might have the protection for eternal life. You see, I want us to look at every name of these cities so that we can see how we need them, how we need Christ in our life. Now, that's the nature of these cities. It was a place of protection. Now, the names of the city, Kadesh, it means a place of holiness. Now, this city tells us that Jesus Christ is our righteousness, is our holiness. Without holiness, the Bible says, no man shall be able to see God. But with the holiness of Christ in our life, then we will be able to enter into heaven. You see? He paid the price. He's holy. Now, let me tell you something. We're in a dilemma. Our lives have sinned there. There's none of us righteous, are they? The Bible says no one is righteous. All are sinners. But the Bible teaches us when we come to Christ in faith and we acknowledge our sin and we trust him as our Lord and Savior, he becomes our holiness. He becomes our righteousness. And by faith, Jesus protects us and we belong to him and he belongs to us. In the Bible, over and over in the Bible, Paul has this favorite phrase, I believe. He says, he is in Christ, and Christ is in him. I pray and I hope this morning that you can say, I am in Christ, preacher. I am hid in Christ, and he's in me. He has sealed me with his Holy Spirit. I am safe. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Just as the man ran to that city of Kadesh, inside the walls was a safe place of holiness for that man. Just as Jesus Christ is that holiness for you and I this morning. And then there's Shechem, which means Christ is my strength. It means that Christ is my support. You have Christ this morning as your strength, as your support in life. I don't know about you, but we need support, don't we? Every day we need support. It literally means he picks us up and puts us on his shoulders and carries us. I hear people all the time say, well, I'm trying to hold out faithful to the end. Well, let me tell you something. Christ is holding you in his arms. I tell you, you'll make it if you're in Christ. You'll make it if Christ is your strength. He is your support. Well, I remember as a kid, I was just a small little thing. Daddy used to love to pick us up and put us on his shoulders and tote us. I remember going hunting with Daddy when I was only about 8 years old, something like that. And we would go to a slough, and we'd cross that slough. Well, Daddy would always pick us up and put us on his shoulders. Kent and I, he could put each one of us on his shoulder. And you know what? I always felt safe on Daddy's shoulder. You know what? Daddy's long gone now. He's in heaven today. But I know he's safe in Christ. And I'm safe in Christ because Christ now lifts me up. When I come to the troubles of life, in the valleys of life, Christ says, I can pick you up. I can put you on my shoulder and carry you. When I come through the things of the valleys of the shadow of death, when the Bible talks about death, I don't have to worry because Christ has paid the price and he picks me up and puts me on his shoulder and I find the strength and the support. You see, I didn't hold out faithful in the beginning. Jesus was faithful and he's the one that keeps me and he will hold you on his shoulders to the very end. You see, that's our Lord and Savior. Christ is our strength. He is our holiness. And the Bible says by faith, he has. We trust him as our Lord and Savior. And by faith, he keeps us in him. Folks, we're not out here just trying to hold on and make it through. No, it's Christ holding us. I love that old song, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. Amen. He's got you and me in his hands. He's holding us. And Jesus finds us when we're down and when we're out, and he picks us up. Oh, we fall short so many times. We get discouraged so many times. We get depressed so many times. But Jesus Christ is there. And he will pick us up and put us where we belong if we'll just let him come into our life. Shechem means he is our strong shoulder. Oh, I'm on his shoulders. And I tell you what, if I'm on Christ's shoulders, I am pretty safe, ain't I? I may not be too good at English, but that is good. I tell you, when you're in Christ, you're pretty safe. He's my refuge. He's my tower of strength. Nothing can separate, the Bible says, me from the love of God. He's my refuge. He's my strength. Hebron, that means fellowship. Listen, after Jesus Christ becomes your Savior, and he puts that holiness to your account. And after he gives you the strength and he puts you on his shoulders, you know what? I want you to get a good idea of what the Bible says here. When we are in Christ, we belong to his church. Now, his church is not just this building. What is the church? It is the body of believers. It is the body of believers in Christ Jesus. It's all of us, folks. Every single one that has trusted Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we ought to have fellowship one with the other. I love to have fellowship with my people. My people are a Christian people. There's nothing better than going and having a good old time with Christian believers. People who think and believe and act the way I do. You know, I'm never embarrassed when I go out and I'm with Christian people because I know they're not going to be cursing. I know that they're not going to be doing things that are unpleasing to God. So, therefore, we can have a great fellowship. And Jesus says in that city of refuge back in those days, there was a great fellowship. Why? Because all were just alike. They were all there in that city for the same reason. They were there for the protection. They were there for Christ's strength. And they were there to be saved from the avenger. No longer were they under the bondage of the law, but they were under the blood of Christ. I'll tell you what, now they were singing, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Folks, can you say that this morning? Is something bothering you? Are you running from some trial or some trouble in your life, and you're tired of running and running and running and running? Don't you get tired of that? I tell you, before I got saved, the Holy Spirit was, He was working on me. Boy, I tell you what, I ran. And that day, I was just so tired of running. I said, "Lord, I want to come into your family. I'm tired of running. I want to have fellowship with you." And you know what? He wants to have fellowship with me. Oh, and the victorious life that we have in Christ Jesus. And that fellowship has been so wonderful and so happy in Christ Jesus. Don't you know it was a wonderful thought when you came into that city to know that you were safe there? That all the problems on the outside wouldn't be bothering you anymore? Wouldn't it be wonderful that you could leave out of here today and just say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for taking care of everything that I need"? That's the way God is. He takes care of everything you need in your life. If you'll just ask Him, you'll just follow Him, you'll commit your life to Him, let me tell you something, He will take care of you. And then there's a city, the fourth city, Bezer. It means stronghold. It means a fortification. You know how long a person was safe in the city? The Bible tells us on down there. In Joshua 20, verse 6, it says, "And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days." Now, the Bible says as long as that person was in the walls, he was safe as long as the high priest liveth. Now, he could stay safe as long as the high priest lived. Now, in those days, they had those high priests. And as long as they lived, he was in the city of refuge, he was safe. You know what I'd be doing if I was him? I'd be on my knees every morning praying for that high priest. "Don't you die. Don't you quit on me." Man, he would be the most prayed about guy I've ever had. But guess what? How long does Jesus Christ save you? Think about that just a moment. Till the feeling wears off. Let me tell you something. If Christ only saved me to the feeling wore off, I would have been lost again about 2 days after I was saved, because I realized I still had a lot of problems in the world. You see, Christ doesn't relieve you from all the problems that you have. He just takes care of them with you, you see, if you trust in Him. Until the feeling wears off? No, that's not what the Bible says. All for 10 or 15 or 20 years? No, that's not what the Bible says. Until you sin again? No, that's not what the Bible says. How long are you safe in Christ Jesus? Bezer means stronghold. Listen, you're safe in Christ as long as the high priest lives. And how long is that? Forever. Amen. Praise God. In Hebrews 7:25, Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And the Bible says, He ever liveth to make intercession for me. You know what? I am safe forevermore. Nothing, Paul says, can separate me from the love of God. I'm in him and he's in me. Folks, that's the way it is after you become a Christian. As long as he's the high priest and he forever lives, he's our great high priest. We're not talking about a human anymore. We're talking about God himself, creator, sustainer. He holds us. He secures us. We're safe in him. This morning, if you're here and you've got a problem, this morning, if you're lost without Christ, you need to come to Christ. And you're safe forevermore. Oh, let me tell you something. You still go out there. You still got things you have to do. But Christ is with you now. And let me tell you something. With Christ, he makes life a whole lot more enjoyable. Ramoth in Gilead. That simply means exalted. Listen, when you're in Christ, you're in an exalted place. Let me tell you something. You know what I am? I'm a child of the King. I have trusted Jesus Christ. I am a joint, the Bible says, I am a joint heir with Jesus. I'm in an exalted place this morning. I'm in Christ. We lift him up. I'm in the city with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wouldn't you like to be in that city this morning? Wouldn't you like to be in an exalted place? All you have to do is come to Christ. And he says, he'll adopt us. He takes us in. We're his children. I don't know about you, but man, I'm going to serve with God through all eternity, the Bible says, over in Revelation. It's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what Ramoth and Gilead means, exalted. Golan, the last city, means joy. It means Christ is my sufficiency. Christ is my joy. He's my Savior. He's my strength. He's my security. He's my satisfaction. He's the sovereign Lord. He's my God, brother. We listened to O.S.M. Lockridge this morning talk about who God is. Man, you listen to him, you listen to that sermon. He's my King. I tell you what, he's your King if you're in Christ Jesus. He's all sufficient. The happiest people in the world were those people that had made it to the city of refuge. They had been running and running and running from life. They had been running from that avenger of blood. And they made it into that city, and they can just collapse and rest in Christ now because they are safe. Let me tell you something. Praise God, when I come to Jesus Christ, what did I find? Let me tell you, I found salvation. I found salvation in Christ Jesus. You see, all of us have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. The only way to salvation, the Bible says, is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. When he died on the cross, he said, I paid the price for your sin, but you must choose to serve with him. You must choose to love him. You must choose to ask him to come into your heart. He's not going to force you to walk down an aisle. He's laid it out there for you, and he said it's a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. That's eternal separation from God. But the gift of God, what is the gift? Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, died on the cross. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know about you, but I like that eternal life. I like that word. Man, the happiest people in the world are those who are in Christ. They don't have to run anymore. They don't have to fret anymore. When we come to Jesus, we find salvation. Not only that, we find satisfaction. I tell you what, the Christian life is a joyful life. I look back over my life and I think, yes, Christ is worth it. Rhonda and I went to see The Insanity of God the other night. Let me tell you something. Those missionaries that go overseas, it was about a show about a missionary, and he's giving his interviewing people. These people had died in prison. These people were beaten in prison. Their wives and children were tortured. They were killed in front of them. And he asked them this question: do you think Jesus Christ is worth that? He lost his son in Africa. People would say, he said the hardest thing was, Christians would say, if you hadn't have gone over there, your son would still be alive. Laid it on him. Do you think Jesus is worth that? Without a doubt, he said, everyone that lost loved ones, that had been through the fire, been through the jail, said, Christ is worth everything. Is Jesus worth it in your life? I tell you what, he's been worth it in mine. He's my refuge. And I'm safe, praise God. And I hope this morning that you have found him too. I hope he's worth it in your life. He's worth everything we've got. Folks, this life, the Bible says, is like a vapor. It's here for just a short time, and then it's gone. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you invited him into your heart? Did you know you're going to die? Amen. The Bible says, it is appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. And it all depends on what you've done with Jesus Christ, where you're going to spend eternity. I don't know what the world, I do know what the world's telling you, but they tell you, don't worry about it. Everybody's going to end up in heaven sooner or later. No. The Bible says there's a place called hell. And those who do not trust Christ, those who do not have a relationship with the Lord and Savior, those who are not in him safe and secure will go to that place. Oh, well, preacher, you mean to tell me that a loving God is going to send people to hell? No, he doesn't send people to hell. They choose to go there because they reject the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. I hope you found Christ. That's the nature of the cities. A place of refuge. A place of safety. And that's the names of the cities. But I wanted to finish by looking at the nearness of cities. The nearness of these cities. He says, build these cities. And they were located so that no matter where people were, there was a city close. There was a place of refuge close. One was near. No matter where you were, you could look. They were usually up on a mountain, so you could look off in the distance and see, hey, that's my place of safety. That's my refuge. When you needed help, you got it quick. All you had to do is go straight to that city. Now, the cities were for everyone, rich, poor, strangers as well as the Jews. Everybody could go to the city of refuge. You see a stranger passing by and accidentally run over someone on his chariot and kill them. He would flee to the city of refuge there and find safety. Let me tell you something. Jesus says salvation is for everyone. Everybody. It doesn't matter if you think you're high or low, you see. It doesn't matter if you're the Queen of England or a pauper in England. It's for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, what color, denomination. It doesn't matter. Salvation is for everyone, educated, uneducated. Amen. The city of refuge is for all who will come. Jesus says, whosoever shall call upon the name of God shall be saved. You see, all you have to do this morning is say, Lord, I believe with all my heart that I'm a sinner. And I believe you're the Savior. I believe you paid the price on Calvary. Lord, I want to come to you and give my life to you. 2,000 years, Jesus Christ was hung on a mountain called Calvary. And on that mountain, he was lifted up so all could see. And folks, let me tell you something. When the children were in the wilderness and the snakes come, God says, Moses, you put a serpent on the pole and lift it high in the middle of the camp so that when somebody is bitten, they can look at that serpent and be saved. Now, that serpent had no saving power. It was the act of faith upon God's word saying, I looked. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He was lifted up on a skull about Mount Golgotha. And he said, all you have to do is believe and trust me. Oh, salvation is so simple that even these little children that came down front, they could understand it. God made it where everybody, if they wanted to, could come to him. Have you come this morning? He says, call unto him, and he will save you. Man, he'll be your salvation. He is your strength. He's your security. He's your satisfaction. Every point in life, Christ is there. I love that passage of Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's got everything I need. Everything I need in life and eternal life, Christ has made provision for it. If you will simply come to him this morning and receive him, he will bless you and seal you with his Spirit. Oh, let me tell you something. No matter what you've done, none of us are too bad to be saved, folks. You may think you're the worst person in here, and that could be true, but God says, I love you just as much as I love that preacher up there, and I want you to be saved just as well as he is. You can come to him, and he says, I will save you. He's that city of refuge. Would you come to him this morning? Here's how it is. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you need him to come in. He says, if by faith you will profess him before men, that's just simply coming down and saying, Lord, I want to be saved. The moment you step out by faith, he's going to save you. You know what you do? You repent of your sins. That means you turn your life around. You're headed towards hell right now, but you're turning your life around and you're going in a different direction. You're going to start living for Jesus Christ. You give him your life. You commit it all to him. You live for him. Let me tell you something. He will save you. Hey, you're not going to be perfect overnight. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, preacher, I tried Jesus, and I still went out and sinned. Well, let me tell you something. He knows that. He knows you're going to sin, but you're not going to enjoy sin because now he's in your heart. And everywhere you go, he goes because he's sealed you with his Spirit. And that Spirit of God is going to convict you. Hey, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be going this way. I shouldn't be saying those kind of things. And let me tell you, you're going to get on your knees and say, Lord, I want to confess that I've fallen short. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess, he is faithful and just to cleanse us, lift us back up, get us back on the right track. Listen, that's why we have Bible study, so you can learn, make disciples, the Bible says. That's the reason you need to come and let Christ fill your life with all the things. We've been filling them with all the filth of the world, but he wants to fill them with the good things in life. So if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, would you come? Maybe you're here this morning and you're already saved, and you know that, but you haven't been living for him, and you want to get your life right and say, Lord, listen, I want to start living again for you. You need to do that. It's important. Maybe you're here this morning. We have some visitors here. I don't know if y'all looking for a church home or not, but let me tell you something. This is one of the best churches in the world. I believe with all my heart. If you want to come to God and join this church, praise God. I'd love to have you, that we might work together for the good and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe in the book. Every word of it's true. No mixture of error in this word. It is all true. We need to learn it, put it in our heart. Would you come this morning if you're looking for a church? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the cities of refuge. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He is our refuge and our strength. Oh, Lord, I pray this morning if there's somebody lost, that they won't leave here in that condition. They will come, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.